Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ said explicitly, "The truth shall set you free." But how can we be set free unless we realize that we're slaves in the first place? Unless we see our own condition, we don't need a Savior, do we? Or at least we think we don't. How do we know that we're slaves? Explicitly again, the law points it out as clear as day in the scriptures. The wages of sin is death. And we also have, by the grace of God, our consciences. Yes, our conscience is corrupted, and we can't always trust it, but it's still another way that God brings us back to the law, because God wants us to go back to the law again and again. Why? Because we need it. We need the law to show us that we are weak and he is strong. In the text today, the Jews listening to Jesus, they didn't understand this. When Jesus gave them the not so subtle hint that they were slaves to sin, they said, "We're offspring of Abraham, we're enslaved to no one." They effectively said, "I am not weak, I am strong." As if their Jewish identity, their family tree, could automatically give them a free pass. So we can say at least they were slaves to their own ignorance. They thought themselves free. They thought they were, because that they were already obeying the law that was given to their ancestors. Their merits made them free. "Who are you to call me a slave?" They were play pretending to be free, while their souls were shackled to the dungeon wall. And it's not just in Jerusalem in the first century. There are others too who sought to love God but were lied to. 1,500 years later in Germany and throughout Europe, there were people who loved God and sought a relationship with him, but they didn't know that they were slaves to something that they couldn't see. Under the Roman Catholic Church, they were lied to. And these people were hurt, and they were sinful, and they needed to hear the gospel. But what they were told from the church was law and law alone. These people wanted to love the Lord, but they were enslaved to false doctrine, slave to their own false confidence in their own good works, and slave to doubt. Martin Luther himself said, "I was a good monk, and yet my conscience could not give me certainty. I always doubted and said, 'You didn't do that right. You weren't contrite enough.' The more I tried to remedy an uncertain, weak, and troubled conscience with human traditions, the more I daily found it more uncertain, weaker, and more troubled." Being a slave to doubt, sweating at night in bed, in uncertainty, that has its own shackles. The Reformation sought doctrinal clarity and priority of Scripture above and against the incoherence of the medieval theologies, because leading up to the 1500s, Scripture was just one of the truths, one source of truth. The other source was under the Roman Catholic oppression, and it was tradition and church. So if the scripture had said something against what the church was teaching, or against what the traditions upheld, then scripture was not the authority. Man was. But Matthew 28, Christ declares, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So we see what happens when man tries to take authority away from God. Because the Roman Catholic Church even had a schism, a split. And there was a time when there were two popes. And Scripture was not the source of truth for them. So then which one of these popes should we listen to? Who has the authority? The clarity and the priority of the Scriptures were smothered by tradition and human ambition. And it helped no one. Turning away from God's word always helps no one. all authority belongs to Christ alone. And because of the church's false doctrines at the time and self-rewarding practices, fortifications against Christ, believers were not able to do what Christ asked, what was good for them, to abide in his word. They were separated from his word, shielded from it, and they were taught things that were blatantly contrary to it. So what could they do, though? The church holds the truth, right? No, not if it's a slave to these false doctrines, not if it's against God's word. And false doctrine comes from Satan. So why should we be so scared of false doctrine? Because then Christ crucified means nothing. Our understanding that Christ fully and forever atoned for our sins in full on the cross shall not be broken. Because this is how God so loved the world. But this inability to trust in this truth, it didn't stop there. Human nature hasn't and won't change apart from God. The world has changed, but it really hasn't, and we really haven't. Aren't we still tempted by the same things over and over again until freed by Christ? In AD 33, or 1520, or 2023, we're all slaves to something unless we're slaves to God, to Christ. Only then, paradoxically, we will be made free. For those who believe and are baptized, we were slaves to our own sinful nature and to doubt and to all the distractions in the world, to our own never-ending sinful desires, words, and actions. But now we hold fast to this truth. Our salvation is guaranteed by Christ crucified. Signed, sealed, delivered. We are his. And Christ spells it out for us clearly, plainly. The one and only truth that breaks our bondage to sin, and it marries us to Christ himself. He says, I am the truth and the way and the life. So if we don't abide in him, in his word, we don't have that one and only truth. And since he is the truth, and so then every word that comes out of his mouth is as well. Yes, scripture is truth. Christ said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Scripture is the awesome and incorruptible word of God, proclaiming the salvation of mankind by the atonement for our sins on the cross by Jesus Christ. And like he said it, it is by abiding in his word that we become his disciples, his learners, his followers, his pupils, because that's how we're taught our truth, his truth, by our teacher. And he taught Martin Luther the same thing, how to stay in his word, how to combat false teaching, and that if he embraced himself as a true sinner that could not save himself, then he could embrace Christ, the true Savior that could save him, save all. Then Martin, with God having revealed the truth to him, he was used by God to free that word from bondage, from the bondage of the Roman Church. Penance, purgatory, indulgences, and the Pope himself, that great barrier to Christ. Those were the shackles that chained God's people. Here's the heart of it. God used Luther to set his word free. His word. And us. Verse 36. Jesus promised, if the Son makes you free, you will be set free. The Son does it. And we sure as anything can't free ourselves. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And that's good news, because we don't have to stay awake at night, sweating in doubt about our own salvation. shackled with this doubt like young Martin was. There is this sweet assurance, no doubt. And God worked in real time, yes, with real people in history during the Reformation and many times before and many times after, to free his word from false doctrine concerning scripture alone and grace alone and faith alone and Christ himself. We have this assurance that in Christ alone, the way, the truth, and the life, we are made free. And that's what's great about being Lutheran. It's not just the name. We celebrate Reformation Day because it's a testament to God's free word. It's God's word stripped free of the shackles into which it's so often clasped. We're proud to be Lutheran because we've been set free by Christ. And because God's word is enslaved to no one, and it's the truth. God reminded Martin to where to find this truth, that the truth sets us free. Verse 36 again, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And the Son has set us free. So we are free indeed. God worked in real time, yes, in history with real people, yes. But he still does too today with you. Here in the word and sacraments which bind us to him, marry to him who is the truth. Bound to him and not bound in the shackles of mistruth. The truth has made us free, unshackled. And we know that we were slaves to sin. And now we know that Christ has set us free. Christ's merits have made us free, no longer in the future, but in the present, here, now, assured, baptized. The shackles are broken. The only future that we have now is the one that we have this hope in. And it's the one that Chris Cottle is experiencing right now. It's the truth that, behold, he makes all things new. And that goes for Chris and for me and for you. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen.